Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, June 2nd, 2017. Jumping right into a message as delivered by Pastor Jason Schiffle a little over a month ago, as we're both busy being about the Lord's work. Here's Pastor Jason Schiffle.
Friends, this is Pastor Jason Schiffle, and welcome to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. And I wanted to take some time so that I could share with you to talk about God's authority, to talk about the authority of God and what it means and how we wrestle with that. I told you on the Wednesday program that for many of us, we wonder what it is we can say as we kind of interact, as we kind of move with people, as we talk about going out into the harvest. We read scriptures that call us to therefore go and to make disciples. And for many of us, we would say, well, what do I have to say to these people? I mean, I've never been married. What do I have to say to a married couple? I don't have kids. What do I have to say to people who have kids? I've never been in that situation that my coworker's in. How do I speak into that situation? How do I talk about a thing that somebody's struggling with that I've never struggled with? What do I have to say? And therefore, on the Wednesday program and today, and if you didn't get a chance to listen to the Wednesday program, please go to the archive at www.greatnewsradio.org and pull that up and listen to it just so you can understand the whole of this message, because I think it's absolutely important, because we have, friends, lost sight of what authority is. As I said on Wednesday, I believe that the right idea of authority has fallen on hard times. That in culture, we believe that everybody has the right to do as they please. And we're so fearful that we might infringe on that right somehow, that we are in the precarious position of the Israelites in Judges 21 and 25, when it says in those days there was no kingdom, there was no king, there was no ultimate authority in Israel. And so everyone did what? What was right in their own eyes. And see, the core of that problem is that men and women desire to become their own authority. And in doing so, they're acting in according to the same evil desires in which Satan tempted Eve in the garden. Looking at the forbidden fruit, the serpent said, "For God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." And as I said, as we closed out the program on Wednesday, I think oftentimes knowing good and evil, we don't always choose good. You see, essentially, Satan was telling Adam and Eve that they could become their own authority. They would be able to define what was good and what was bad based on their own desires and impulses, making Adam and Eve essentially their own gods. They did not need God to tell them what was right or wrong. They could decide that for themselves. You know, friends, this is the message of secularism. It's born out of a belief that the highest authority in your life is you. And you don't need God. You don't need the Holy Spirit. You don't need the Bible. You don't need Jesus. You don't need the wisdom of the great cloud of witness to tell you what to do. But friends, I'm here to tell you that I think authority is absolutely necessary. Because without it, there will be anarchy. There will be chaos. Without authority in your home, it will fall apart. Without authority in schools, there'll be problems. Imagine what it would be like without authority in the place that you work. You know, some people might like the idea of not having a boss, but unless somebody acts with authority, it is impossible for the business to flourish. It's impossible to have vision and direction without having some sense and semblance of authority. Without authority in a nation or government, citizens will act wickedly with no judgment for their actions. Authority is needed everywhere. We can't kid ourselves. Authority is needed everywhere. And this is something that most people freely recognize. No group or organization or nation can function smoothly without someone in position of authority. None can and ever have. We have examples where they've tried to not do that, and it has gone horribly wrong. Listen, the Pharisees recognized the need for authority when they asked Jesus about his teaching and works. The Pharisees said to Jesus, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" That's Matthew chapter 21 and 23. And Jesus did not shout them down or tell them that they were wrong for asking. Nowhere did he said, Why? We don't need authority. You're just being legalistic, you Pharisees. Jesus' response was to ask them about the authority of the baptism of John. In Matthew 21 and 25, it says, where was it from? From heaven or from men? You see, Jesus pointed them to the true authority and gave them more support to the fact that we need authority. Why would Jesus ask about it if it wasn't necessary? Jesus fully recognized that authority for practice and teachings is necessary. This question can also reveal only two sources from which a practice or a teaching can come from. Jesus says it either comes from God or it comes from men. If not from heaven, then a teaching must come from men. And teachings that come from men ultimately result in vain service to God. In Matthew 15:19, it says this, for out of the heart of men come evil thoughts, murdery, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. Jesus says there's only two choices here. Either what's happening has come from God, or it's come from man. Either it comes from the solid foundation of who God is and his authority, or it comes from the shifting sands of men. That's the teaching that Jesus gives in the Sermon on the Mount, isn't it? One man built his house on rock and the other man built his house on sand. And then in the equality and equity of God, the storms are equal to both. The rains came and the wind blew. And the man whose house was built on the foundation, the rock of God and his authority, stood. And the man whose house was built on the shifting sands of his own heart, his own desires and his own affections, it's blown away. It falls over. For only out of the heart of men come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. There was an article that I read recently in a magazine, and it was really kind of interesting. It said 9 ways to influence without authority. So this is a magazine saying that there are ways that you can influence things without having authority. And it really gave us a window, gave me as I read it, a window into what culture thinks. It says this, understand resistance to change, that everyone has a different tolerance for change. That said, people resist ideas because they fear change. And yet, Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The trueness in the situation is that we resist anything that has us to change because of our sin nature that's inside of us. It says if you want to influence people without authority, just adapt social styles. And that sounds so good. Just be more like the world. Except that Ephesians 4:14 says, so that we may be no longer children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and craftiness and deceitful schemes. Because that's really ultimately what God came to save us from. This article goes on to say, well, just develop your own personal power, which is unfortunate because the Apostle Paul would tell us that he himself did not come with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the power of the Spirit. Think about Peter when he stood up and he gave that magnificent sermon. It says, Peter filled with what? The Holy Spirit. That's the true power, friends. There's no personal power that you have. If we had a personal power, then we wouldn't need a personal Savior. We have no power, Jesus tells Pilate, unless it was given to you by God. And we each have been, those of us who believe in Christ, who believe upon Christ, have been given that power. We've been given the Holy Spirit of God, which Paul says, I didn't have anything great to say, nothing persuasive. I didn't have anything really wise. My wisdom wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit of God. The fourth way that they say you influence without authority is to pass the microphone. Let everybody talk and let everybody have an equal voice. Which sounds really good, doesn't it? We all get to talk. Except that Amos chapter 3, verses 7 and 8 says, for the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophet. The lion has roared, and who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Friends, there is a time where we need to realize that God has a greater voice than us. that there is no equity in this communication, that he is God, that the lion has roared and God has spoken. His authority has come forth, and we need to be quiet and listen. That's what the resurrection is. That's what Easter morning is, roaring out of the tomb to silence all the critics, to silence all the naysayers. What does the angel say? He has risen just as he said he would. Just as he silenced all of your doubts, just as he said he would, he did. Number five, it says appeal to emotion. But Job chapter 5 and verse 8 says, as for me, I would seek God, and to God I would commit my cause. Not emotionalism, but the solid rock of God's foundation. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. We don't appeal to emotions. We appeal to God. And God, in his grace, offers us a way through his son Jesus Christ, through the shed blood of his son Jesus Christ. And then number six, this is one of the ones I just shake my head at. It says, stress the benefits over the truths. Go beyond explaining the what of your wants and focus on the why, the benefits. Listen, friends, we can do that. We can talk about the benefits when it comes to authority. But the problem is Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one might boast. Friends, we submit. We do not sell. We're sent to proclaim, not to push. People are important, but people are not projects. When I come and I'm stressing the benefits over the truth, I'm like, well, you know what? If you just accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you won't go to hell. That's true. But listen, by grace you've been saved. God didn't have to do it. It's the free gift that no man might boast. God took away any way that you could possibly say, it was me, so that you might point to him and say, it was him. The truth of the Bible, the greatest benefit that the Bible tells us, is that we get God in all of his authority because he has given himself to us. How much more powerful do you need a statement to be? And finally, it says synthesize, 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 which means change your language, change your presentation if you have to. Do whatever you can to get people to hear you. Revelation 22:18-19 says, I warn everyone who hears the words of prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him a plague described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. Stop being God's editor and just start being his messenger. Stop trying to change the words. They're God's. It's his authority. These words in this book, the Bible, are meant to strike men in the hearts, to crack open hard hearts, to encourage depleted hearts, to bring men to worship. Reminds me of a story. A young salesman was disappointed about losing a big sale. And as he talked with his sales manager, he lamented. He said, I guess it just proves you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And the manager replied, son, take my advice. Your job is not to make him drink. Your job is to make him thirsty. And when you proclaim the word of God, the authority of God, men and women get thirsty. They're like the woman at the well who gets thirsty for the righteous. Lord, give me this water to drink. Number eight, it says, structure your points appropriately. Listen, friends, we only have one point. That's Jesus Christ and him crucified. The Apostle Paul only had one point. We only have one point. Number nine, strangely, we agree. It says persist. Persist. Yes, I say again, persist. See, friends, only God is the proper source of authority. For authority to be worth anything, it must come from the one who has the power to grant it. Men simply don't have this power, but God does. God didn't inherit his authority. There was no one to will it to him. He did not receive his authority. There was no one to grant it to him. God's authority did not come by way of election. There was no one to vote for him. God didn't seize his authority. There was no one to steal it from. God did not earn his authority. It was already his, and it has been revealed to us. 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us that all Scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. Benjamin Warfield says the Bible is the Word of God in such a way that when the Bible speaks, the authority of God Himself speaks. That God Himself speaks, the great I Am. You know, it's interesting because the word Lord occurs 6,800 times in the Old Testament. Literally, that word means I am. In Exodus chapter 3 and 14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent you. And in John chapter 8 and verse 58, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. See, God didn't say I might be. He didn't say I hope to be. He didn't say I plan to be one day in the future, and then we'll wait and see how that works out. He said, I am. I am the ultimate authority. God is not fuzzy about who he is, and neither is his word. We have the declaration of his authority on good authority in the Bible, which is why the Bible says to us, seek first the kingdom of God. And listen, because of that, the word of God is sufficient to speak in all matters of faith and life. There's nothing about our lives that the Bible doesn't address, just places that we choose to not allow it to address. See, our authority does not rest on our skill, our knowledge, or our experience. It rests on the word of God and the work of Jesus Christ. So that in every situation, whether public or private, we stand on the solid foundation of God's authority. And the more we walk with the Lord in obedience, the more our convictions and our confidence grows. The more that we know, friends, that we don't need to be a scholar to offer encouragement. I love how 1 Thessalonians 5 and 11 says, therefore encourage one another and build one another up. You don't need to be married 40 years to help a marriage. Just open Ephesians chapter 5 and begin to see, show what God has to say about marriages. You don't have to be a parent to offer instruction on parenting. Simply open up Proverbs chapter 1 and look at Proverbs 1 through 10. You don't need to be an expert at your job to encourage your coworker, because Colossians 3:23 tells us, just work as though you're working for the Lord. Truth is truth, and Jesus said, your word is truth. Isaiah 48:8 says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. When we started talking on Wednesday, I addressed the problem that I hear from a lot of people where they say, what do I have to tell them? What do I have to tell them? What do I have to tell the people that I come in contact with? What do I have to say to them? Well, friends, I'm going to tell you what you have to say to them. You tell them whatever the Word of God tells you to tell them. And that, my friends, will make all the difference in the world. You must be confident that the Word of God is sufficient for all matters of faith and life. You must be confident that this God who spoke into the Scriptures through human authors over the span of history, that His Word is sufficient. Whether it is marriages or family or co-workers or whatever it is that you're struggling with, that the Word of God is sufficient to speak into those things. What do I have to tell them? Whatever the Word of God tells you to tell them. You know, lecturer and pastor Fred Craddock and his wife were having dinner at a restaurant in Tennessee one night when an old man started talking to them from the next table, asking them how they were doing and if they were enjoying their holiday. When the old man asked Fred what he did for a living, Fred saw the chance to get rid of him, and he said, well, I'm a preacher. And trust me, that works. He said, I'm a preacher. Well, what do you have to tell them? Whatever the Word of God tells you to. A preacher, that's great. Let me tell you a story about a preacher. The old man sat down at their table and started to speak. And as he did, Fred's frustration was changed to profound humility. The old man explained that he didn't know who his father was, that he was born without knowing his father, and that for him that was a great source of shame in the small town that he lived in. He said one day a new preacher came to the local church. A man explained that as a youngster he had never gone to church, but one Sunday he decided to go and to hear this new pastor preach. And he said, this guy, he was really good. And so the son who had no father, he went back again, and then he went back again. And in fact, he started attending just about every week, but to his shame, he never would go up to talk to the pastor. He would arrive late, and he would leave early to avoid him. But one Sunday, he got so caught up in the sermon that he forgot to leave. And before he knew it, the service was over and the aisles were filling, and he rushed to get past the people and out the door. But as he did, he felt a heavy hand upon his shoulder. And he turned around to see the preacher, a big, tall man, looking down at him, asking, "What's your name, boy? Whose son are you?" And in that moment, the little boy died inside. The very thing he wanted to avoid was now here. But before he could say anything to the preacher said to him, "I know who you are. I know who your family is. There's a distinct family resemblance. Why, you're the son. You're the Son of God." See, Romans 8, verses 15 through 16 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons who cry out, 'Abba, Father.' And the Spirit of God Himself, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." It was that moment that the old man sitting at Fred Craddock's table looked down and he said, "You know, minister, those words, 'You're the Son of God,' they changed my life." And he got up and he left. So when you ask yourself, what do I have to tell them? Friends, you tell them whatever God tells you to tell them. And that will make all the difference in the world. It might even make a life-changing difference. Friends, I have so enjoyed my time with you this week, and I look forward to getting back next week with Mark and being able to have time together with him. Always enjoy the banter back and forth, but I just was missing the opportunity to not be able to be with you this week. So thank you for indulging me as I talked about God's authority and prepared us to move forward into Easter week. And as always, blessings from my family to yours.
Amen and amen. That was Pastor Jason Schiffo emphasizing the importance of God's authority. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.